Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord. Yeah, we're on the air. Thank God for being on the air tonight, amen. And I'm going to play a song or two here in a minute, doing something a little bit different than that. I'm waiting to see if there's a number pull up on my broadcast. There's a preacher friend out here, and I'm waiting on to see if he's going to call in tonight. But if he don't, I'm going to preach tonight, Lord willing, if the Lord let me, amen. As usual, I don't feel worthy to preach, and I tell you what, I thank God that the Lord saved me, and I am looking for Jesus to come. I know our sins are forgiven, but I don't know about the, when I stand before God, I'm sure that I'm going to bow on my face, man. I'm going to hit the floor when I stand before Him, and, when I first see Him, either by the grave or, you know, when the Lord would stand before Him and before His throne. And I'm glad I'm saved, though, and hope you are. I'll be preaching tonight, Lord willing. I hope I don't make a mess out of this tonight. It's called The Last Invitation. Your last invitation to repent and get right with God is what I'm going to try to preach on tonight. So anyway, if the Lord wills, I'll be back in a few, probably 5-10 minutes maybe, or 5 minutes. We'll see how it goes. And I'll try to preach.
Can't you see the end of time is drawing nigh? Can't you see and the time is drawing nigh? I see the signs on the land, destruction in the sky, and I know the end of time is drawing nigh. The disciples came to Jesus. They said, how will we know when the Son of Man will come again? Jesus told them the sign, and some of them are happening now. That's how I know the end of time is drawing nigh. Can't you see the end of time is drawing nigh? The end of time is drawing nigh. I see the signs on the land, destruction in the sky, and I know the end of time is drawing nigh. Hear this. Men are lovers of themselves, proud and boasters too, covetous, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents too, unthankful, unholy, and this is the reason why I can see the end of time is drawing nigh. Did you see the end of time is drawing nigh? Pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They're forever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. That's how I know the end of time is drawing nigh. Can't you see the land, destruction in the sky. And I know the end of time is drawing nigh. I see the signs on the land, destruction in the sky. And I know the end of time is drawing nigh.
I'm not for sale. not the same. No way, no sir, I'm not the same.
Up there, like I said, I hadn't been preaching long, but I got up there.
there. Hallelujah. And I was introduced to everybody that at first I know we're preaching kings. So the older I got in studying the Word of God, I learned that many things, amen, ever since I got saved and started studying the Bible, that we are preaching kings. And so really my aunt wasn't wrong about calling me a priest, but she called me a priest in front of my brothers. My oldest brother and me were standing there, and my older brother, amen, he'd been in church, and my older brother, amen, professes to be saved, and he knew the difference between a priest, and I knew what he thought about a Catholic priest, and a preacher. And so when my aunt was introducing me to everybody, she would say, well, here's my nephew, and he's a priest. And my brother said, no, he's not a priest. He's a preacher. He knew the difference between being a Catholic and a Baptist, or a Catholic, amen, and a preacher. So anyway, we got through that. But I did, amen, God chose me out of, I don't know how many Catholics were there that day. My whole family was there, and I don't remember this. I remember standing there in the pulpit, amen, standing there looking, and all that night I was up all night long saying, God, I've never, that was the first funeral I ever preached. And I said, God, I have never preached a funeral before in my life. And so what am I going to do here? I tried to study, I tried to look in there, amen. I read through the Bible, and I come to the book of Revelation. I got other verses, amen, and all that I know is this. When I got up there ready, amen, to open my Bible, all I know is this. God took over that whole thing, amen, and I started telling them about Jesus, amen. I started telling them, I told them about my grandmother. I said, I don't know where my grandmother is today. I don't know if she's in heaven or in hell. But I said, if my grandmother did not repent, she's not in heaven. But if my grandmother repented and got saved, she's in heaven. I don't know which way she went, amen, other than by their fruit you shall know them. And according to what I studied in my Bible, I don't believe my grandmother went to heaven. I believe my grandmother went to hell that day when she died. I really do. And lived somewhere, somehow, she repented of her sin before she died. Amen. But I do believe this. I believe, according to the Word of God, that somewhere my grandmother heard about Jesus and heard that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And matter of fact, I'm going back. I am pretty sure that she heard that about Jesus Christ, because my dad, before my dad got saved, before he died. He died before his mother died, my grandmother. And now that I think about it, the Lord brings that back to my attention. My dad got saved. Like I said, we were raised Catholics all our lives, amen. And but my dad, amen, got saved. And I think about 6 months later or so, something like that, I'm not sure how long it was. But my dad died, and God took him home. And I remember telling my dad, telling us, amen, and my older brother telling us about my dad, how he taught us to love Jesus more than anybody and anything on this earth. And as I know, she never got saved. And I'm just going on by what I heard, what I remember as a boy, a young man. My grandma's mother was a wicked, nasty mouth, vile person. There was no shame in my grandmother, the way she talked and the way she carried herself. But I do know this, that God put me up there, and listen to me, I believe that was her last invitation call. I'll get into a few more if the Lord let me. I'm going to follow his lead, hallelujah. Amen. I've been praying all day, man, praying a while ago, amen. I thought, Lord, I don't deserve to preach God, but you give me liberty, Lord, I'm saying you give to me. There are plenty of places in the Bible, and if I get a chance, I'll bring a few of them out and ask God to give them, bring it back to my memory, amen, of the thing that I had grew up with, or I got saved and everything, and how God, amen, was using things in life that my grandmother, I'm sure she had one invitation to God. I'm sure my dad spoke to her, because like I said, when he got saved, it's like when you get saved, you got to tell somebody, you got to let them know they need to be saved, and your life changes, and it's excitement and joy coming in, and you don't care if anybody meets you, you just know that God came in, and ain't nobody going to get it out of you, hallelujah, because something's got a hold of you, and he ain't going to let you go, glory to God. Glory! He ain't gonna let you go. I just know I got saved May 25th, 1984, sitting tied up in prison cell, but God, and God changed me, and God put a joy in me, God put a shout and a dancing in my feet, buddy. But just like my dad, I'll tell you about my dad, amen, my dad changed, amen. He planted the seed in me. He planted the seed in me and my brother. He planted the seed in my mom. He planted the seed before he died. But I think little did she know, and little did my grandfather know. I think my grandfather was still alive, but I do believe, according to the Bible, that everybody, I don't care if they're in the jungles of Africa. I don't care if they're downtown Japan. I don't care if they're over there in Iraq, Iran. Amen. They ran. I'm not going to run, but I'm telling you what. I'm telling you. I don't care where they're at. They will hear about Jesus Christ. They will know that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. They will know that they must repent of their sins. They must know that they, amen, that they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and God, that Jesus died and he was buried and he rose again on the third day, and Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. They're going to hear about it. And nowadays they can hear about it because they got that television. Even though there's false prophets out there, amen, I'll tell you, when they preach God's word, though, when they bring the word of God out, God's word will not come back void somewhere, because I'm thinking about today, we cannot see what's going on inside somebody. We can't see what the Holy Ghost of God is doing. When they hear the word, it goes in, it's sharp, it's like a two-edged sword. It cuts them going in and coming out. Even like a hammer, man, when that word counters on that heart, that stone, that stony heart. That hammer of box is loose, and that hammer of it is soft, amen. It's like taking a meat stick and tenderizing your steak. God tenderizes your heart. Amen. But the last invitation came. Amen. But as I sat there that day, after my grandmother died, I don't know. I don't know who it was that came by my grandma or what. I don't know who she heard, but I'm sure she heard the word somewhere. But I do know this. I preached my grandmother's funeral, and all I know is I got up there and I made it very plain. I didn't know if my grandmother's mother was in heaven or in hell, but I told her if she wasn't saved, she was in hell. She didn't make it to heaven. These are all Catholics now. And I tell you what, the glory of God, I'm telling you what, the power of God Almighty fell down on that service. Amen. I don't know what God was doing, but I'm telling you what, I gave my testimony. preacher came along and broke that ground, and somebody else came along and put a seed in there, and somebody else came along and watered that seed, and then God touched them, and God did the increase. I don't know what happened to them, but I do know this, it could have been their last invitation. I'll give you another time when I, after I had been preaching along. I'll tell you what, God was there that day, though. In Detroit, Michigan, in the funeral home, some of my experiences in my life with the power and the presence of God Almighty has been in the funeral homes. I preached many funerals. Amen. But I'll tell you what, I'll tell you about one that I preached. If I can remember it now. Like I said, I preached many funerals. There was another funeral. I wasn't going to talk about the funeral. There was one time down in Hope, Arkansas. Down there, an old preacher down there, Brother Oliver McCain's church down there in Hope, Arkansas. I was preaching down there. I hadn't been preaching long, just a young preacher. I got up there and started preaching, man, and I noticed people looking at the clock. I'm not a clock watcher. I never have since I've been saved. I'm serious. You know, when I go to church, I don't sit there and wait until they tell me, hey, man, you know, we're going to be preaching about 10, 15 minutes and we're out of here, okay? I don't want to hear a preacher tell me that. So we're going to preach here as long as God wants us to preach. Amen. Even right here on the radio. And I'll tell you this, I promise you. If I was standing before somebody, or if I'm not standing before somebody, and the Holy Ghost of God, for some reason, would come down in this room right here, right now, and the radio program goes on, and God said, I want you to keep on preaching, boy. I'll keep on preaching, and I don't want to stop until I know God wants me to stop. We got two days in that. We don't want to sit there and enjoy God. We've come to church for God. We don't come to church for ourselves. We have a wrong idea. Ooh. Not a funeral, you might as well call it that. But I was preaching down there, the church down there was having a youth meeting, what they call, used to call a youth meeting. Brother Oliver McCandy's church down in Hope, Arkansas. And I got to preaching, man, and I noticed everybody kept looking at that clock. And it was at night, it was on a Friday night. You know why they're looking at that clock? They could care less about God coming, they could care less about their soul, they could care less about their. All that came was for the food. They came for the food. It was youth fight, and you always eat on youth fight. You come out there. And I'm the young preacher. So God opened the door for this young preacher to preach. And I preached all the hour at night. And I kept preaching because God said preach. People don't want to have preachers going to preach 2 or 3 hours. I don't get on here trying to preach 2 hours. They want to preach 2 hours and think I'm calling for me to. I can care less what man wants out of me. I love it when I got saved. I love it when I sit there and listen to preachers. I'm standing there preaching business for 3 hours. And I, not one time ever did I fuss about sitting there saying, man, all we did was hurt me up. I'm honest before God. Now, there's some preachers that bore me, but I still sit there. And I don't really complain. I don't think I'm complaining. If I have, God have mercy on me. I'm not trying to lie. But when I go to church, I don't sit there and think, my gosh, man, we get there. God don't be with us. Nah. No, he don't. No, most of the time, everybody's in the flesh. They think we're going to come to church. We're going to have Sunday school at 10 o'clock. And according to them, we go outside, we drink water, we get ready for church. We go in there, we preach, sing, preach off. We got it all planned out. And I know the Bible says do things decently in order. But then we sit there and say, well, God's going to show up. When we get ready, no, God's going to show up when your heart gets ready. And most of the time, you've been fussing and fighting, cussing and everything else all week long. You can tell anything you need to be doing in. And your heart ain't ready. That's why most of the time we can't go to church and enjoy God because we got to get all the guards out first. That's why God's got to preach to us like he did. Because we got to start, man. We're bringing our baggage into the house of God. But we should have it all consent before we ever walk out of the house, amen. And before we get to church, amen. And we're guarded, repelled, get it clean. Ooh, son. God have mercy on us. But I preached that night as a young preacher. So you sure get loud, praise God. But why tonight? I'm going to be honest with you, folks. I've been struggling the last couple times I've been preaching. But you know what? I'm not breaking my heart today, man, because I didn't feel worthy. But you know what? I ask God tonight, man, to give me liberty, that I know my calling. Amen. Even if I have to preach hard things, I'm going to by the grace of God. Even if I have to lose all my friends, even where I'm at now, I'm going to preach. Amen. I feel like Job sometimes. Amen. I'm not Job, but Lot. Amen. We sit down here, amen, in this world. We vex our righteous soul daily, man, sitting amongst the wickedness, and we're listening to the wickedness and everything, man, and we vex our soul daily. I'm getting to my point, man. I ain't lost it. Thank God, too, man. God's got my brain. I'm going to tell you something. I preached that night at that youth meeting. It was like 2 or 3 hours. Everybody worry about football games. And I see people praise the football team, man, more than they do God. I see people jump up, shout, man, shake their hands, boy, dance around, boy, their team's the winning, baby. Their team's the winning. Go to church, man, you don't do nothing for God. You're too ashamed. You're too ashamed of God. Yeah. Yeah, he ain't good enough. Yeah. He ain't good enough, man. He don't stir you up enough. No, no, he can't stir you because your heart's cold. Oh, my God. Listen, man, I don't care. This place that I've been, man, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. places, God put me in places, amen, I have to say amen, and people don't like that, man, a lot of churches today. That's why I don't get around a whole lot of folks anymore, man, because they don't want God, they don't want to rejoice, they don't want to dance before God, ain't nothing sinful about it, man. I can back it all up with the Bible, and if it's in the Bible, I don't care. If you don't like me, amen, I don't care. Just tell it, right? Just say, I don't like you. I don't want to have you to deal with. I don't feel better. Hypocrisy, amen, it's all over the place. We're talking drama and hypocrisy all over the world. We talk to you good to your face and we stab you in the back as we leave it. Yeah, preach on that. Preach on God for a little while. Yeah, preach on smoking and drinking, but they don't preach on money. Woo! I don't know where that come from, but it come out. Anyway, I preached a message that night. I looked at that clock and I told that preacher, I said, preacher, I'm taking that clock down, man. I said, we're not here playing games, man. I preached on hell that night, man. There was an urgency. Well, I was preaching. We had an invitation. After I got done preaching, I preached my heart out, man. I knew something more. I felt it in my spirit. I don't care if you like that. I felt it in my spirit. And it's all spoke my heart that keep on preaching. And now I'm blind around, buddy. Maybe someone threw that whole thing, got saved, but I'm going to tell you something. I cried after this. It scared me. It scared me after I heard what I heard. It did. It scared me. It scared me in my preaching. Not because of my preaching, but it scared me. I thought, my goodness. But at that night when I preached, amen, I took the clock down because everybody was worried about that stupid clock on the wall. Everybody's on a time limit. But God, God ain't on no time limit. That's why God don't heal anymore. That's why God don't do things. We ain't on his time. We're on our own time. We ain't got time to wait on God. We ain't got time to do it God's way. We ain't got time. We ain't got time to keep calling us God. We just ain't got time. We ain't got time to sit in the church house and cry out to God and repent of our sins and ask the Holy Ghost of God to really come out and be with us. Most people are scared to death, man, because we've been playing games inside the church house. Let's join in the push across. Yeah, that's what we've been doing. God have mercy on all of us. God have mercy on me. God help me. Y'all thought I lost my place, did you? I'll get back to the church now. I preached my heart out that night. And the next time I saw that preacher, he told me, he said, Brother Wally, you remember preaching that night? I said, yes, sir. I thought he was going to tell me some good news. He said, there was a lady sitting in that service. He said, man, I witnessed to that woman time and time again. He said, Brother Wally, that service was for her. You preached on hell that night, Brother Wally, and you know what? She didn't move. You know what? That was that woman's last invitation. That week she died. And the only thing I can go by is what that preacher said. Unless somewhere, somehow, someway, maybe one day when I get to heaven, she's going to say, I was that woman, Wally. Down there that night you preached. I didn't step out inside that church house, but I did step out inside my house, and I asked God to save me. That's a hope I have, but you know what? If it was the way that preacher said, she died cold, man, she was cold. That woman died and went to hell. She had her last invitation. She had her last opportunity. Now I'm going to tell you about a friend of mine. My friend named Dwayne, my best friend. He was one of my best friends. I had several best friends, but Dwayne Massey was my best friend. Me and Dwayne, we done everything together, man. That was wrong. And I don't know if anybody's going to listen to this, amen, that know me. That knew Dwayne. But you know what? Me and Dwayne used to run together, and we used to go to these parties and all this stuff. We used to do stupid stuff. And I ain't glamorizing sin, man. when I was a member, I was assistant pastor of North Akron Baptist Church at that time. You want to call it assistant pastor? I was there. I preached out of the prisons and the jails, and I wanted to preach on the streets and everything. And didn't have to start that until later. But we were having a revival that week, and I begged my best friend to come to church with me. I said, man, you need to come to church with me, man. You need to come to church with me. And then about later on, we started on a Monday, I believe it was, or Sunday, somewhere around there. And by Wednesday night, I said, man, you need to come to church. Man, you need to come on to church. Man, you need to hear this preaching, man. My best friend looked at me and said, well, I'm going to tell you something, man. He said, I know you changed. I know you're different, man. He said, but I'm going to tell you something. He said, I ain't ready to quit drinking. I ain't ready to stop all this while I'm just not ready to do it. I want to keep on partying. He said, but I won't keep you for it, man. You keep on doing what you're doing. But he said, I ain't ready to quit. He said, I'll tell you what I do. He said, I'll buy your gas in that van every night. You come by here and you pick up my children. He said, and I'll buy your gas. He said, but I'm not ready for it. Well, by the time weekend come, I still asked him that last Friday night. I said, man, you need to come to church. I said, you need to hear the preaching, man. And I was crying that day. I had tears in my eyes. I said, man, really, I said, you need to listen. I begged you. I said, you need to come to church, man. I can't remember if that Friday night or the Saturday night, man. My best friend played Russian roulette with a pistol. He thought the gun was empty. He thought he got all the bullets out of there. He was trying to do something in front of his wife, amen, thinking that was going to bother her, but she said he'd done it so many times that she didn't say nothing about it. About the third click, man, the gun went off. That bullet went inside my best friend's head, man, and lodged in the top of his head. They flew that boy to the hospital, and he died. That was my best friend, that was his last invitation to get right with God. You say, Brother Waller, where do you think he went? I believe that man went to hell that night. He was drunk. And I know people listening to this, hey, man, they might get mad at me, they might hate me, they might even write and say, man, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have, well, he was my best friend, and I wept for that boy. I prayed for that man. We were both young men. I can't believe you said he went to hell. I said, well, from what I understand about the Bible, no drunkard will inherit the kingdom of God. None. No drunkards. I don't care if it's your family. I don't care if it's my family. I don't care whose family is, as much as we love them, as much as we want everybody in our family to go, everybody goes to heaven. Nobody, I've learned, in America goes to hell. Everybody can live out hell, walk in hell, live in hell, and still go to heaven. Everybody, stop being so fight around in heaven. Well, my goodness, who in the world goes to hell then? Who do you think goes to hell? Those that reject Jesus Christ, that's who goes to hell. The doctors go to hell. The whoremongers go to hell. The unbelievers go to hell. The Christ rejectors go to hell. The sorrowites go to hell. The good people go to hell. You can't be good enough to get to heaven. You have to repent of your sin. You have to get saved to get to heaven. You have to. When ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That was the last invitation of my best friend. The last one. He was invited. And he turned it down. The lady in hope turned it down. I preach so many funerals, man, it's pathetic. That when I preach it, I look at it, and I look at the people. And I know some of them that I preached, I know they went to hell. They were drug heads. They were in drugs and alcohol. Messed up. Now why could they repent? As much just go to heaven as a marriage, because that's our loved one. That's my daughter. That's my husband. That's my wife. That's my son. That's my aunt. That's my uncle. That's my grandpa. She lived in Carolina. She's my grandma. She went to heaven. You can read the Bible, and there are people that I know of right now profess to know Jesus, and they won't read that Bible, and they're going to hell. You can quote scriptures. The devil knows how to quote the Bible. The devil believes in God, and he trembles. The devil believes in God. Just because you believe in God does not make you saved. You must repent to get saved. The last invitation. Your last invitation to repent and get right with God. Your last invitation could be tonight. Your last invitation. There's invitations that churches have, that people inside their hearts, they're saying, they're doing their best to live for God, and they mess up here and there. Your invitation tonight to get it right. For the lost, your invitation could be the last one. This could be your last invitation to get saved. There was many people in the Bible, and I'm not going to read it, but I'll tell you where it's at. It's in Acts 26, King Agrippa. Paul gave his testimony to King Agrippa. When Paul was giving his testimony, just like we do in churches, we give a testimony. We're telling others what God does for us. We're outside the church, and we're giving testimony. We're telling you, hey, man, I got saved. I got born. Now let me tell you what Jesus done for me. Let me tell you what God's done for me. That's your invitation. The Bible says today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. You already passed up yesterday, but today is your day. You know why? Because you might not see tomorrow. God might have told you already time and time and time again to get this thing right with God. And you won't do it. The Bible says that God's Spirit will not always travel, man. God's Spirit will not always drive. He will not always deal with man. You hear me? He will not always deal with you. It's not like God has to keep coming back 100 million times. If God's come your way and you heard God speak to you and say, you need to be born again, that's your invitation. That is your invitation to get right with God tonight, today, this minute. You fall on your face before God, repent of your sins, and believe the gospel that Christ died for you. He said, if we confess with our mouth, believe in our heart, confess with our mouth. They God, I praise in front of them. I shall be saved. Have you ever been saved? King Agrippa, he knew the law. He was very wise. One of the greatest people on this earth as far as knowing the law. Paul told him that. And Paul was one. Paul was one of the greatest, smartest, knowing the whole law. But he got saved under grace. But he talked to King Agrippa. He told King Agrippa what happened. He gave him a testimony. He was giving King Agrippa an invitation to get saved. He was giving, Paul was talking to King Agrippa, saying, King, this is what you need, man. You need this right here. You need Jesus Christ, King. You know me. You know I was under a Pharisee. I know the law. What does you do? But it's by grace are you saved. It's not through words. It was his last invitation. I have not found in the Bible, and if he did, it's not recorded. But in the Bible it said, King Agrippa said this, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. I believe, unless I'm wrong, because like I said, it's not recorded in the Bible, but I'm going to take it on right there where God let us know, I believe that was King Agrippa's last invitation to get saved. King Agrippa, listen, because Jesus and his disciples walked on this earth, everybody, the Bible said even Paul turned this world upside down. They heard in their area, King Agrippa heard about all the things that was going on with Jesus. King Agrippa had heard all the things that was going on with Paul. He heard them. Not like he didn't hear. That's why the Bible says, take heed how you hear the word of God. Take heed how you hear today. This could be your last invitation. This could be your day of death. You hear me? This could be the day that you go out. And you know there are thousands of people that died today. They're dying right now as I speak. People in plane crashes, car crashes, overdose, suicide, gunshot wounds. Dying. People in the hospitals dying. People, babies being born dying. People being killed. This very second. This is your last invitation. This is the invitation that God's given to you. He gave that to a rich man. He told him what to do. He said, go out and sell what you have and give to the poor. And the Bible says the man walked away sorrowful. There's two places in the Bible that talks about the rich man, Luke chapter 12 and Luke chapter 16. One talks about, man, he says, today thy soul shall be required of thee. That he had, even though it was a parable, God, Jesus was God, was giving us a picture. You need to get this thing right if you're going to die and go to hell. Today thy soul shall be required of thee. Thou fool, he said. Thy soul shall be required of thee. That was his last invitation to get right. They had opportunities like we do. And he turned down. What about you today? Your last invitation to repent and get right with God is now. Right now. King Agrippa had a chance, he turned it down. Rich man had a chance, he turned it down. My friends had a chance to turn it down. There's others in this world had a chance to turn it down. There's people all across this country that heard preachers. There's been preaching all over the street, all over the streets of America, preaching, proclaiming, warning the righteous and the unrighteous. Have an opportunity of a lifetime to get saved. Have to, that's your invitation. That's calling you in. Hey, look. I sent my promise early, but you turned it down. You go to the, I'll give you a picture of another, the last invitation. In the book of Revelation, God talks. Revelation chapter 14. One of the last, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four beasts and elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with woman, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell have on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice to your God and give him glory. For the hour of his judgment is come up, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of the indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and the image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. Here's the faces of the saints here, they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth yea, the spirit that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. That's what I want to get to, but I'm not gonna read the rest of it. There you go. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap. For the harvest of the earth is ripe, and he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to them, or to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle. Amen. And gather the chaffer, the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle in the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great wine press of the wrath of God. And the wine press was trodden without the city, the blood came out of the wine press even unto the horse bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Verse chapter 15 talks about again the wrath of God. And this is why I talk about the last invitation. This is the last invitation of the Bible. Right here in the book of Revelation, this is the last invitation. Even though all these things are coming to pass, the verses of God Almighty are saying, repent! And I heard in chapter 16 of the book of Revelation, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way, pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noise of the grievous sore upon the men which and the mark of the beast, and upon them was worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it came, became as the blood of a dead man, and every soul, living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was to shed of thee, because thou hast judged us. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seed of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongue for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven. to repent. This was his last invitation. He's telling them if they would repent. If they would repent. God gave them an opportunity. He gave them their last invitation to repent. In chapter 9 of the book of Revelation, and thus I saw the horses in the vision and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and jacinth and brimstone, and the hands of the horses were as the hands of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issues out of their mouth. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols and gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders nor their sorceries nor their fornications nor of their thefts. God gave them a last invitation. Give them. And they won't take it. I know God commissioned us to preach the gospel to every creature, but I'm telling you, there's going to be people out there that will never, never get saved. It don't matter, man, if you slap them down. It don't matter, man, you, hey, man, they're fornicators, they're thieves, they're liars, they're sorcerers, they're witches, they're devils. They're worshiping idols. They're worshiping devils. And they're worshiping silver and brass and stone and wood. They can't hear, nor can they see. They can't talk. They're dumb as can be. And yet God, in his merciful kindness and his grace, gives them opportunity to repent even here, and they still will not do it. God gave them their last invitation. And watch. Don't do it. I know I called my friend's name out. I don't back off of that. He was my best friend. I don't care if people hate. I ain't trying to hurt anybody, but I'm telling you the truth. I begged my best friend. He had his last invitation. There's people gone to church, man, that have an invitation. Know perfectly well, sitting on that pew, man, that God's calling out to them. And they sit there, I've seen people too, man, they grip the back of that pew until their knuckles turn white, man. And they leave out of there, and their heart's cold, cold, cold towards God. Unless ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What about you today? Is this going to be your last invitation? You know, listen. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. That's your last invitation. When you close your eyes in death, it's over. You get to the point where you can't speak, man. You can't, you don't know, no, and you say, hey, it's over for you. You say, well, I'll wait until my deathbed. Well, it don't work like that. Jesus made the Pharisees mad one day. They came to him and said, Lord, who then can be saved? Jesus said, unless the Father draw you, you can't get saved. And when the Father's drawing you, guess what? That's your invitation. He told them that twice, and they got mad at it because they didn't like it, because they're trying to get to heaven by their words. They're trying to get to heaven by speaking in tongues. They're trying to get to heaven by doing miracles. I'm telling you, man, God, hey, you don't think they can do it? Jesus said in the last days, and when they stand before God, they're going to say, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name? We've done many miracles in your name. We've cast out devils. We've done miracles. We've done all these things in the name of Jesus. And the Bible said that God looks at them and says, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, I never knew you. God cast him into hell because they tried to work their way to heaven. Not by our works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. But by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We can't work, we're good enough. Baptism don't get you to heaven either. Baptism don't save you. I know. Baptism is the answer of good conscience towards God. Colossians tells you that. People out there today trying to make you say, man, you just got to get baptized. Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. I haven't seen that. You got to be baptized to be saved. Well, you know, I know some people right now that are saved, I believe, according to the Bible, but they'll never get baptized because they're locked in a prison. They won't let them get baptized, so but their life changed and they got saved, but now they're not going to go to heaven because they can't get baptized because you said that if they don't get baptized, they're going to hell. Well, I ain't seen that yet in the Bible. I've seen where if you reject Jesus Christ, you go to hell. I've seen where Jesus said, repent or perish. Repent, or ye shall all likewise perish. Repent and believe the gospel. And then Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized. It does say that in the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues. Now, don't say that. You got some out there, man, boy, you're damned to hell, man, if you don't get baptized in Jesus' name. You're damned to hell if you don't get baptized the other way. You're damned to hell, man, or you don't speak in tongues. And one guy gets baptized in Jesus' name, but he can't speak in tongues. But the church he goes to, they speak in tongues and says, if you don't speak in tongues, you can't go to heaven. So, my goodness, we just ain't got a chance. Jesus screwed up somewhere, you reckon? Now, Jesus said, it is finished. When Jesus died on that cross, when Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel, that's all it took. Jesus died one time for my sins forever. I got baptized. I think you ought to get baptized. You know, it does. I mean, you go and you read it. It talks about getting baptized. I'm not denying that. I don't believe he's talking about being baptized. He said, he didn't say anything to blood and water. Amen. He said, without the shedding of blood. See, they don't want to touch these words, you know, for the remission of sins. See, they'll touch it on Acts 2:38, but they won't touch this. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is. He didn't say without the shedding of blood and water. He said without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And Jesus didn't say when back in Moses' day, when they put the blood on the doorpost, they didn't say put blood and water. He said, put the blood. He said, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Is this your last invitation? I'm calling on you tonight. Repent. Ask God to save. Believe what he's saying. Believe he is the Son of God. Believe that he died for you. Believe that he went to the grave and he arose the third day, like I said. Believe that when you come before him, you repent of your sins. You tell God. Amen. You confess your sins before God. And ask God to wash you and cleanse you and forgive you. And God will. I can't tell you what to pray, but God will lead you. Your heart, man. Tell it, put it from your heart. Pray from your heart. Hey, are your heart there for they wicked? I don't want to hear that. And they'll say that. And I'm not mocking that. That's right, it is. But when you come to before God, in Luke chapter 8, I do believe in the parable of amen of the sower, it said this man came before God with an honest and good heart. Say what you want. The man had an honest and good heart. His heart wasn't good, but he wicked that day. He had an honest and good heart. He repented. He had God to save you. He got saved with an honest and good heart. We beat ourselves down all the time. cleansed. My sins are gone. I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint. I'm an ambassador. I'm a child of God. I'm a priest. I'm a king. Hallelujah. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. Your last invitation to repent and get right with God is today. Today is the day of salvation. What about it? Father, in the name of Jesus, I could go on and on and on, Lord. Even through your word, God, you gave people space to repent, and they wouldn't do it. You're telling them, God, this is their last invitation. This is their, you're inviting them. You are drawing them to you, is what you're saying. I am drawing you to me right now. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. Father, your will be done. Thank you for tonight. I thank you, God, for being here with me. I pray, God, that this message some way, somehow, Lord, through this old loudmouth preacher, will reach out and touch somebody, Lord. I thank you for being with me, Lord. I praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, folks, I'm going to play a song and I'm out of here.
A nation under God was the foundation until the enemy came and convinced we should not pray. In the place where we build our future, now the strong winds are blowing it away. Can't you see?
A nation should be built on the rock of age.
On the rock of age.
The rock of age is a stone to stand the test of time.
A nation should not be built on sinking sand. Without the true foundation below. For without the foundation strong, it will not stand the storm. And the strong winds will blow it away. There are some who still said today, why should we pray? Well, we're living in a martyr in a lighted day. But when the call came to pray no more, in God we trust, walked out the door. Now the strong winds are blowing it away. Can't you see?
Nations should be built on the rock of ages.
Rock of ages.
The rock of ages is known to stand the test of time.
Test of time.
It will never decay.
It's gonna stand.
It's gonna stand through eternity.
Well, there's no wind will ever blow it away. Never blow it away. Oh, no, no, no. There's no wind will ever blow it away.
Isaiah 13:11 says, "And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." Verse 9 says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it." Last invitation. There's going to be one last invitation, I believe, in your life. Somewhere you're going to hear about the Word of God. You're going to hear about Jesus. You're going to hear about getting saved. What are you going to do with it? I hope you listen to God. Today is the day of salvation. I pray you repent and get right with God. This could be your last invitation. This could be the last time God calls on you. You need to get it right. Till next week, pray for me. I need your prayers. Bad. I covet the prayers of the saints. I love God. But until then, may God bless every saint of God. That's Brother Wallace's prayer.